started. So this is the Ohio Writers Guild, and we're kind of holding hands also with the newbie blogger group because we're all about writing and getting published. And I don't know about you, but when I first got started, I had these preconceived notions that, well, I wasn't published unless, I had a book with a traditional publisher, and only then would I consider myself published. And I think that was kind of the thing for years. But times have changed, and I try to be an early adapter, but not always. Sometimes I go kicking and screaming into what's happening. But as we all know, self-publishing has become a thing, and we're all everybody has an opinion, and I get that. Because again, you don't have all of the checks and balances on the self-publishing that you have on the traditional publishing. And so I understand that completely. And so a lot of folks are kind of like, oh, I don't want to read anything that's been self-published. I don't want to get involved with anybody that's been self-published. But then because of the cost and all kinds of factors, there's been some good, really great stuff that has come out of self-publishing. So I think there's a place for everyone. And so in our group, we want to encourage everyone, wherever you are in your writing process, because I believe that your message is so important, whatever that message is. If you have a dream within you, if you have a passion to write, no matter what genre you want to write inside, I just want you to know that your message is important and there is a place for you. So not to feel like you don't fit because you either can't afford to be traditionally published or you don't understand traditional publishing or whatever. So anyhow, the first thing that we're going to do is that I'm going to do a little overview of the three types of publishing before we start talking with Anne. And I also want to give Sandy a chance to tell us about her writer's workshop coming up as well before we get started. But I also want to invite, while I'm speaking here up front, I do want to invite all of you that are writers, but you're not writing a book. Maybe you're a freelance writer and you write magazine articles. Maybe you're a blogger and you're publishing a blog, every week or every month or however often you're doing that. You are a writer and you are published once you publish that writing, even if you're publishing it on your website as a blogger. If you just have a blog website, you are a published author. So again, think about it like this. I don't know about you, but I research on, I'll say on Google, I'll go on the internet search, whatever your search engine is, and I go there to research and I'll say, how do I do XYZ? And all of these articles come up. And when you see all of the stuff that comes up, it's everything from blog posts to magazine articles to books that someone has written. All of that comes up if you Google a particular topic. And so just because you're not in the same lane as someone else, I don't want you to think that you're not a writer or that you're not published. So with that said, and I hope that everybody feels included, which is my whole goal, I am going to click on the chat here. And so if anyone in our audience wants to make a comment or has a question, please just toss it in the chat. Again, we've got Alexandria, Faye, Jennifer, Marla, Megan, Melissa. I think we have some more folks. Who else do we have? We have Ada. Oh, where's Linda? Linda, I'm gonna click through here and let you come up. We have Vicky. Anyway, thank you so much for all of you that are on the call today. I just love that you're here. I am going to share my screen. I can still see the chat. And I'm going to share my screen and just do a quick overview. But before I do that, I want to say a little bit about me. I am a passive income coach. I haven't updated my little Hollywood square here yet, but I feel like I am more of a mentor. And Sandy and Linda, you both know me personally. You think that fits better than coach, mentor? Yeah, so I haven't changed everything yet. I'm updating everything in my toolbox, and so I prefer to be a mentor instead of a coach. So if anybody on the call has any questions, you can go to my website, which is kathybinner.com. And I do have a free strategy call. And so if anybody has any questions or wants to connect with me directly, feel free to do that at kathybinner.com. I'm going to put that in the chat and I'm going to turn it over to Sandy. And Sandy, tell us just a little bit about who you are. She is my co-host, my co-mod. And then tell us about your writer's workshop.
Hi, thank you, Kathy, and Happy New Year, everyone. I am Sandy Kaczurek. I'm a writer, and I'm currently president of the Central Ohio Fiction Writers and involved in writing in a lot of different aspects of it. And part of that is director of Into the Springs, which means in Yellow Springs at the Mills Park Hotel. It's the first weekend in August this year. It's August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And the overall theme is mystery, but yet it's definitely for non-mystery writers too. There's a lot that's going to happen about query letter writing. There's a lot going to happen about revising your work and others. My featured guests are Jeffrey Marks, who is the publisher of Critton and Landrieu Small Mystery Short Fiction Publishing Company and Classic Mystery Books. Also, there is Andrew Welsh Huggins from Columbus, Ohio, and he is the most folks know him as the writer with the private eye sleuth Andy Hayes, because it's set in Columbus, Ohio. He is, and you know your sleuths have to be a little broken. He is a shamed quarterback from the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Cleveland Browns. So milling around Columbus, solving crime while also being booed by people who see him in the street. So it's a clever, wonderful thing. Andrew's going to be there. He's going to talk about his experiences in writing and the birth of a story idea to publication. So really, really wonderful. And then on top of all that, I have a 3-hour session set up with the Ohio audiobook narrators. And they're going to come in and show you and talk to you about what you would need if you want to narrate your own book and put it in an audio format, or what they would do to do that as well. And things to look out for. Any more contracts when you're talking about agent, editor, self? Contracts. What's good? What's not so good? What should you be in kind of if you feel like, oh, this doesn't feel right? How do you know? That's what they're going to talk about. So it's going to be a great, incredible weekend. And this will be my 6th year doing it. So it improves with time and age and experience. You know how that goes. So yeah, that's who I am. I love being here and meeting folks and in the writing world. So welcome. Welcome, Anne.
Thank you so much, Sandy. I really appreciate you being here. I am now going to share my screen for just a moment and just review a little bit about publishing before we get into our conversation with Anne. And so bear with me here while I get to the right screen, because I got a ton of stuff going on here on my computer this morning. Oh, let's see if I can get this out of the way here. All right. This is my website. So anyone that just goes to kathybinner.com, this is what you come up with. This will be the homepage that comes up. Go across the top here and click on the more button. Here is the authors and writers. And if you go to the authors and writers, here is where you will find our free meetups, our courses, and our masterminds. So I am going to jump over and bear with me here till I get to the right page. This one is actually the course for the writers. And I just want to do a little review on this before we start talking to Anne. There are 3 main routes to publishing. And so we have the traditional, the self, and the vanity publishers. And there's all kinds of pros and cons to each one. And we're not going to get too far down in the weeds, but it's all in the course. If anybody is interested, you can simply go there and check that out. So under traditional publishing, with traditional, there's a certain amount of prestige. You can say, you know, oh, I was, you know, published by XYZ publisher. So there is a very external validation for the writers if you can get traditionally published. Now, under the finances, the publisher bears most of the financial burden. So isn't that a wonderful thing? And it's a safe position for an author to be in because these publishers have a track record and their business is books, and they certainly know what they're doing. They have a lot of resources. They have extensive support in editing, design, printing, distribution. They have a vast distribution network. They have assigned publicists for marketing and audience building. They can do all of that. But here is the challenges. It's very time consuming and it's a very competitive submission process. And Anne, am I correct? You are traditionally published. Is that correct, Anne? Okay, so we're going to talk to her about that. But it's a very time consuming and competitive submission process. There's the potential for multiple rejections. So toughen up a little bit because sometimes you gotta submit a lot of times before you get accepted. So there is a considerable time gap before you start receiving some dividends from that publishing. Contract negotiations can be a little complex, depending. And you lose some of your creative control because that publisher knows what sells and they're going to say, here's what we want you to do in this chapter or whatever. So royalties, there's lower royalties compared to self-publishing because, of course, you're paying, they get a piece of the action for doing a lot of this background work for you. And so you might forego the higher rates for the potential higher sales. So it's up to you, but that's just a kind of a quick look at traditional. Now let's take a quick look at self-publishing. Self-publishing, it's growing in popularity. It's increasing commonality, especially with eBooks. That's so easy. You can upload those yourselves. You have complete creative control. There's no upfront fees. You can, you get your sales commissions on all your platforms, but you bear the full financial responsibility and marketing responsibility. Well, I don't know about you, but when I started thinking about writing, that's two different hats, marketing and writing. I mean, you might be a great writer and not have a clue how to market. You might have some marketing skills and struggle with your writing, or you could be somewhere in the middle, which is kind of where I started. I knew a little bit about the marketing and a little bit about writing. And so I had a pretty big learning curve. So anyhow, you do have to bear that finances and the marketing responsibility. Now, you are able to track reader responses and make changes easier, I think, than with a traditional publisher. There's a longer shelf life for eBooks these days, and you can easily refresh the content. So that gives you a little bit more control. Now, there are challenges. Again, you've got the full responsibility of editing, designing, marketing. I mean, you have to be the publisher and the writer and the marketing. You have to wear all the hats if you're going to self-publish. And so that sometimes gets a little overwhelming. So sometimes you have a need, you have to invest in some professional services. Like maybe you're good at everything except the edit. You want somebody else to edit, or maybe you can write and edit, but you want somebody else to market. So you can start farming out bits and pieces of that, but it is time consuming because you have to do all that research. Okay. And then of course there is the market reach. It's challenging to get your physical book placed in stores if you're not with a traditional publisher. And you're dependent upon a lot of different platforms to get exposure. But again, you have to do all of that homework and research to figure out how to do all that. You have to wear all the hats. So that's both ends of the spectrum, the traditional and the self-publishing. But now you've got a million and one hybrids in the middle. And that is where the waters get so muddy for any of you that are not published yet. You have all of these vanity and hybrid presses in between. Well, a lot of them have similar benefits to traditional publishing. And here's what happens. If you're listening to this, sometimes you think a traditional publisher is picking you up because they try to tailor make their advertising look like a traditional publisher, and you think, oh, I've been accepted, and then you get a bill because you know, they're in it to make money as well. And if they're one of these hybrids and they're publishing you, oftentimes they will charge you a flat fee to get your book published. Now, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying that's good. I'm just saying do your homework and know what it is that you're getting into before you sign any contracts. Depending on what that vanity or hybrid publisher is offering, it could be the very things that you would have found out anyway. You know, they might say, hey, we'll do your editing. We'll do your book cover. You know, we'll get you placed on, you know, on like Amazon. And you might go, that's worth $1,000 to me or $2,000 or whatever their fee is, because they're all over the map. Like I said, there's a million and one of these hybrid vanity hybrids in between. It can be stress-free process for you, depending on how much they offer to do and depending on if the cost is something that you feel comfortable with. So you do have a financial initial outlay because they're going to charge to get your book published, and they will assist you in your goal setting, that sort of thing. And with the benefits, of course, you know, you get all kinds of benefits in the fact that they could even set up the hard book publishing, the soft cover publishing. They could set up for you that you can get author discounts on a box of books, to where you can, you know, whereas in self-publishing, you know, it's harder to get that done. So in these hybrids, they can put all of this package together for a fee and do all of this for you. And they also can help get you in the right category to help you get more sales. Okay. Now, again, there's some drawbacks. There is some cost for editing and cover design that's going to be in there. You know, there's the expense sometimes will discourage some writers. There is limited marketing exposure compared to the traditional and self-publishing. They might just say, here's what we're going to do for this price point, and you still have to market your book yourself. You know, they might get you the initial round of marketing, but then you would have to take it from there. There is sometimes a lower quality in the physical books, and there is a potential for negative public image. So if it's a one of those hybrids or one of those vanity publishers that some folks maybe hadn't been happy with, and of course, you've all seen that, you know, you research something on the internet and you see the negative reviews, you know, you got to check those out, because maybe this particular hybrid or vanity has some negative reviews, and you have to decide, do I really want my work connected to their name if those negative reviews are hanging out there? So use some caution, because now, and I hate to say it, but because there are so many of those hybrid vanity publishers out there, there's some scammers in the batch as well. They'll get your money and you don't get anything in return. So you have to do your due diligence. And so anyway, that's just a quick overview of the three different types. And I know that that can kind of muddy the waters, because that third kind of the hybrid vanity, there is a million and one of those out there. So I like to work on referrals. And so, and I don't know about you, but if you like I know Sandy, and Sandy and I have become friends, and Sandy is in this world. And if Sandy endorses somebody, I'm more likely to go with them and because of Sandy, because I know her. Whereas if someone else gave me a reference or a referral, I would go, boy, I wish I could know somebody that has used them in the past. So it's helpful to know someone that has used one of those hybrid or vanities. And again, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying they're good. I'm just saying do your homework. But the first thing I think as an author that you have to ask yourself is where do I want to fall into this category, into these three categories? And you might say, I'm only going to be traditionally published. I won't publish unless a traditional publisher picks me up. Or you might say, oh, I'm definitely going to self-publish because, you know, I'm not going to go through all of that work of you know, querying all over the place and getting rejected and taking years to get my work published. And I'm just going to self-publish and move on. And then there is a ton of us in the middle that says, you know what, if I could find a good quality vanity hybrid publisher that would help me with the stuff I don't get and just let me write, and then they kind of put it together for me, that would be worth me spending some money. And so only you know where you want to fall into that category. So anyway, I'm going to stop sharing and let me know if you have any questions about what I've talked about so far. And again, I saw that there's some questions come up here. I guess I haven't missed too many there. So let me know if you have any questions on that. You can, if you go down to the bottom of your screen, if you're on your computer, I don't know on your phone if it shows up as well, but on your computer, you can go to the bottom and raise your hand. And if you raise your hand, that puts you at the top, and we will actually get you on here so that you can ask your questions. So let me know if anybody has any questions currently about what I just covered. Sandy, any comments from you? Oh, you're on mute.
Very thorough. It covers it all. And every, like you said, every one of those areas is, has its own kind of beware, but yet, yay, celebrate, or that fits me too. Exactly. So you're good. You're good.
Yep. I love it. Angela has her hand up. Angela, I'm going to ask you to unmute. You can click your little microphone in the corner. And what is your question?
Do you have a list of these vanity publications?
I don't currently. I have two or three that I am familiar with, but what happens is they come onto the marketplace all the time. And that's sometimes what's kind of tough, is because there's newer ones coming constantly. And so I was in a writer's group, and here's my suggestion for everyone. If you're looking for some of those that you feel you can trust, get involved in some writer's groups, because when you get into a writer's group, you'll find that, especially if you get into your genre, if you're in a, like I'm in a fiction writer's critique group, and several of the authors in that group have used the same vanity publisher. And so they know their way around. And so I feel comfortable if I were writing in that genre, that I would then say, yeah, I would probably approach that particular vanity publisher, because several in the group have done that. And that vanity publisher, again, when you do your homework, even if you choose one that's been referred to you, still go out and do your homework and see if they've got a bunch of negative of reviews and see what those reviews are. I'm not saying a negative review is a bad thing. It could be that somebody just complained that, you know, it cost more than I was expecting. You know, well, okay. I go have dinner on Saturday night and it costs more than I was expecting. So that doesn't mean the restaurant's a bad restaurant. So my point is that you almost have to kind of vet on your own. There's no template to vet these vanity hybrid publishers. There's just no set template.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sandy, what's your thought?
There is, the Science Fiction Writers of America puts out on their website something called Writer Beware. And they will post if they hear things and confirmed that some company is bogus or has, you know, so forth. So that would be a place to start if you don't mind researching a little. Find the place where everybody goes to check things. And it's, I'll post it. It's just, it's two words run together, Writer Beware. And it's run by the CIFWA, the Science Fiction Writers of America.
Good to know. Yep, that's a good resource. So yes. We've got a couple of comments. Sherry says, who in the group has published in the past and what kind of a program did they use? And Faye published last year. And did you self-publish, Faye? It just says you published it using Barnes & Noble Press.
I self-published mine through Barnes & Noble Press.
Okay.
And I just figured, I'll actually have my book right here. That's my book. And that's the back. It's just like a little expressional poetry book of my journey. Like a testimonial piece of poetry. That's basically what it is. And it's going to be a series, hopefully, down the line.
Okay. But you did self-publishing and you were comfortable with that.
I'm comfortable with it. I am comfortable with it. I'm still waiting. I'm looking into traditional publishing, but I want the traditional, like you were saying, I want traditional publishers to seek out me, not okay. me seek out them. Because I okay. think that's where I fall short. Because when I actually have two books called Writer's Market, a Poet's Market, which is like all the publishers and the books, like all the ones you can find and send out. It's hard to explain that one, but like I said, I actually tried seeking out using the looking out online. I have tried that and I got a lot of scams in the process.
Yep, you got to be careful.
So yep. I was very careful with that and I am very cautious, which is why I went to self-publishing, because I didn't want to go through the same path I went down before when I tried traditional publishing, seeking it out myself.
And you have total control when you self-publish. I get yes. that. Yes.
And I struggle yes. with the marketing myself, to be honest. I do struggle with the marketing, but I'm working on just using my social media and like word of mouth.
Yep. And that is something you could farm out. I mean, you could just get somebody that's really good at marketing to just market yeah. the book for you. Yeah.
I've tried looking at someone specifically to help me market, but it's like you have to pay the price to do the marketing. And I'm very financially unstable right now. So I'm trying to save money for that.
I get it. Sherry, let's jump over to you. You have one published, two hybrid and one traditional. Sherry, tell us about that. And you're on mute there. I'll let you unmute.
Sorry. Hi, everybody. So I am currently multitasking. That's why I had the screen off today. So Kathy and I met through the hybrid publisher that, Kathy was originally thinking that she was going to publish through, but I published through my first was a hybrid publisher. And through that credibility, I was able to connect with a group about handwriting. My first book was on handwriting disabilities. And that led me to connect with some professors that were publishing a textbook. And so I actually have an entire chapter in a textbook, which... Kathy, this is maybe news to you. It is now up on academia.edu.
Good news. Sherry is my co-host in my Build a Better Business lane. So if anybody sees my Build a Better Business lane out there, and again, if you go to kathybenner.com, you'll see all my lanes. But one of them that I teach is Build a Better Business, and Sherry is my co-host, my co-mod on that one. So I am very proud of Sherry. We've watched her build her business. And grow to where it is today, along with her three published books and her courses and her coaching. And she's turning the world on fire. So Sherry, good for you. Thanks for being here today, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, and the third book, because there's three there that I was talking about. The third book, Kathy introduced me to another hybrid publisher who used to work for a publishing agency and went out on her own to do publication. And that book is part of an anthology. And so Kathy and I have used a mutual publishing company that way. So
and she's a hybrid.
Well, thank you, Angela.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Yes, Marla, this recording will be available. It is. She's multitasking as well. Yes, it will be available in the kathybenner.com website. And there's a section there of free meetups and it'll be there. You do have to register to get in. Everything I have stored in Teachable. So you will have to register to get a Teachable account, but it's free. And then you can click through any of the free stuff. So yeah, it will be there. Yeah. Sandy talked about checkout resource online that focuses on scams such as Writer Beware. So make a note of that Writer Beware. That's a good place to check. Okay, let me see what else we have. Angel said she didn't know you could have the screen on. Sherry has hers on because she's one of our actual panelists today. And that's why only those of us that are on the panel have our actual videos on. And so anyway, with that, if there's not any other questions there about our conversation so far, we're going to talk to Anne a little bit. And Anne, the first thing that I would like is for you is to tell us a little bit of your backstory. Oh, and you're on mute.
Now good? All right, good. You hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. I'm the managing editor of a weekly newspaper in southeastern Ohio, and I may end up multitasking a little bit here. I've got folks covering for me, but that's where I am right now at work. I've got five kids. They're all grown up. I've got a fabulous rescue poodle. She's a big baby. So my backstory, as far as publishing goes, is it's about a 35-year journey for me. When I was in my 20s, I thought, you know, I'd like to write a book and get it published. So I started out with the idea that I would do a series called The Pet Patrol, because back in those days, the Babysitter's Club was huge. And I thought I could do something like that. I've always enjoyed reading middle reader stuff. I still do. It's fun. It's great stuff to read, you know? And so I wrote a book called The Witch Cat of Slippery Elm Lane, which was intended to be the first book in this series. And then I started querying agents. Now, I thought it was very modern because at the time I had a Smith and Corona word processor. So I'd grown up on a manual typewriter, then moved to the electric and the electronic. So this thing was like a miracle to me, right? I would sit there and print out your page, but it was still so much faster than anything I'd had. So back in those days, you could still get the books that the lady was talking about before. And I'm so sorry, I don't remember your name, but the guides to getting published, all right? The guide to literary agents and publishers. And so I queried and I did find an agent and she was all excited. And then she got back to me and said, well, darn, someone else beat you to it. There's another series just like this coming out. Oh, oh well, too bad, so sad. So over the next many years, I raised my five children. I was working part-time for the newspaper back in those days. And I tried other things as the mood took me. And I had a good time, but I never got anything published. And you want to talk about rejection letters. I have stacks and stacks and stacks of rejection letters. And of course, in more recent years, those rejection letters became digital rejection letters because many people now want you to query them online. I love that.
Were there still the big three publishers back then?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know. This would have been the 90s.
Okay.
And I cannot answer that. So I don't know. It's so long ago. I can't remember who, but I do know that I thought, first of all, traditional publishing was the only game back in those days. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the same rule applied then that applies now. Follow the directions, because in those very handy books full of literary agents, art photo reps, publishers, every single agency and agent specifically spells out exactly what they want you to do when you're seeing if they're interested in your work. If you write a form letter and you send it out to 1,000 literary agents who do not cover what you write, they will throw it in the garbage without even looking at it. You may have the Great American Novel on your typewriter and or in your computer, and they won't care, because if they represent nonfiction academia and you've written a romance novel, they're not interested. That's not what they do. So the first hurdle that you have to pass is you have to follow the directions. That's, you know, I would think all men would be eliminated, you know, automatically from getting published because of that. Sorry, just kidding. But anyway,
we all know they don't even read the directions, right?
Yeah, so how would they know? So shall I continue, or do you want to ask me another question?
No, I think it's great. But what made you decide very early, going back to that, what made you decide you even wanted to write a book? I mean,
my husband decided to write a book. And I thought, you know what? I could do that too. I had a degree in journalism. I'm an avid reader. I always have been. I used to write poems and short stories and stuff. And I thought, you know, that'd be a cool goal to see if I could write a novel. And so I did it as like an exercise. And when I came up with something that I thought was pretty good, then I thought, huh, I bet I could get this published. Well, I haven't yet, but that doesn't mean I never will. Right.
Okay.
So,
what made you realize that you were ready? I mean, I talk to so many people and they go, yeah, everybody tells me I should write a book because I have such an interesting story. But they don't have a clue how to start to write a book, even though they have an amazing story. So how did you know you were actually ready to put pen and paper together?
I'm an audacious person. I decide to do something and I believe that I can do it. I simply won't take no for an answer. And you may have to tell me no 1,000 times, but finally you're going to tell me yes. So I'm a real believer in stick-to-itiveness. I didn't know I was ready. I was completely ignorant. I had no idea what ready would have meant. I read good books. So when I decided I'd written one, I thought I was ready to try and get it published.
Okay. I love that. I love that. You sometimes, and again, I tell my students this all the time, sometimes you just have to start. You just have to start and see where it takes you, because so many of us think that we have to have this total clarity in our heads before we start. And the truth is actually the opposite. You have to start first and then clarity comes second. But so many of us think that we have to have clarity first. So
journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And that's... can't tell you who said it, but they're right.
Yeah. Now were you working full time or were you working back then?
I was working part time for newspaper. I was a full time mom. And the years just went by. They went by as they do. And my children are all grown now. The youngest is 24. And so some number of years ago, one of my kids, and they're all creative people, they write, blah, blah. One of them said, hey, mom, have you ever heard of this thing called NaNoWriMo, which is National November Write a Novel Month? Okay. And
yes.
And they said, you have to write a whole, whatever, 50,000 word novel, I think it is, in a month. And they challenged me to do it. And I thought, what would I write? And I looked into different possibilities. I love reading romance. I like all kinds of romance. I read everything. And I think that's helped me as well, because I'm not just unilinear, if that's even a word. But I try all kinds of different things, fiction, nonfiction. And I thought, I've always been interested in the Amish. I love romance. I'll write an Amish romance. So I read a few Amish romances to see what the genre was like. And then I thought, I can totally do this. So I did it. And I finished that novel inside of November.
Four or five years ago.
It took me time to get this book published. That was because it needed a great deal of polishing. So I got it done and I read through it again. And it doesn't matter how many times you read your book, you're going to find mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so then polished it up and started querying agents and did not get any bites. And then I thought, I'm going to send it to Harlequin and see what they think. So still following the directions, I went online and looked up who among the Harlequin editors represents Amish romance. Well, they have their love-inspired line, which is Christian romance. Okay, it's not specifically Amish. And I queried them. They asked for the manuscript. And I worked with a lovely woman for months as she tried to help me hammer this book, which had not been written by the very strict Harlequin guidelines, into a book that would work for them. In the end, it didn't. But it taught me a great deal about polishing my own work. And she said, come back when you have another project. And I said, thanks. But I was committed to this book. And I queried and I queried and I didn't get any bites. So COVID came along and I got impatient. So I thought, I'm going to do something totally different. So I wrote an urban fantasy and I applied to a contest through the Romance Writers of America. And I won and I was given a mentor, which was a published writer in that genre. And she helped me learn even more how to publish work. So then I had two polished books, which were the opposite of each other, all right, in who the target audiences would be, or anything. So I thought, I'll query them both, and whoever bites first, that's the direction I'll take. And it was one fine February day, I'm thinking in 2022, that I found an agent online who represents Amish authors, as some of what she does. I queried her online, very carefully following the directions. And within hours, I heard back from her assistant asking for my manuscript. And you've got to understand that that's crazy. That's a crazy outlier. That doesn't happen. 30 years of rejections had taught me that. And her thing even said, it may be 2 or 3 months before you hear from me. And the next morning she called and offered me representation. And I was over the moon, of course.
I bet.
And so I dumped the urban fantasy. She's in a drawer. Maybe she'll never see the light of day again. And signed with this agent. And within about 3 months, she sold my book to the Barber Publishing agency or company, which is an Ohio company. And it took another year. Another year and a half to go through all of the steps, which involved their copy editor editing it, making suggestions to me. I did a whole bunch of corrections. And then they wanted a lot of other things from me that I'd never even heard of. And I had to learn how to do that cover copy. I had to learn how to do summaries and synopses and all kinds of things that is more jumping through hoops and following directions. And you can learn how to do a lot of this stuff online. A lot of literary agencies have places on their websites that teach you how to do this kind of stuff, all for free to anyone. You don't have to be represented by them. Take advantage of what's being given to you for free. And then in December 1st, my book was traditionally released through Barber, and it has been such a ride since then. It's been tremendous fun. It made it all the way up to number 2 on Amazon.com in the Amish romance subcategory. I didn't even know there were subcategories on Amazon until I started. Somebody said, did you see how your book's doing on Amazon? And I'm like, no, that's a thing. So now I obsessively check every day. And that was a thrill. It's been great. And I have another one coming out in June. And I'm almost finished writing a novella. And novellas are becoming a thing again. All you
they
guys
are.
Who like to write shorter stories, they're starting to be desired. And it'll be part of a compilation of 4 different authors with short Christmas Amish stories. And it's number 1 right now on the most wished for list in Amazon's Amish romance category. So it's a lot of fun. So there you go.
I love that. Now, Sherry has a novella question, but I want to ask you, and when you were back, think about when you were doing your writing, and because again, I don't know about everybody else on this call, but if you're a writer, that computer or typewriter or note tablet or whatever kind of calls your name and you kind of have to do it. How did you find time in your schedule? What did your schedule look like? Your writing schedule? What did that look like?
Well, of course, during COVID, it was kind of easy because we were only open physically, our door unlocked a couple days a week at the newspaper. I was sitting at home and I had time. And that is when that whole thing with writing another genre, learning how to polish my book, all of that happened during COVID. Then I'm a member of the Central Ohio Fiction Writers group, they did a thing called sprints. And 3 nights a week, you would write for 20 minutes, take 10 minutes off, write for 20 minutes, take 10 minutes off. I love that. I'm a fast writer, and I like to be motivated. It was like a competition with myself. They also have a spreadsheet where they have a competition amongst the members for the highest word count that you do every month, and also days writing. So I did a lot of that. But I'm also a motivated person. And so when I need to get something done, and I'm deadline driven, I have until Valentine's Day to get this novella done, but I have included a child with Down syndrome. So I've talked to a couple of friends of mine, a young adult and her mother, and the young adult has Down syndrome. I want both of them to read this and tell me, oh, no, you have screwed this all up. Here's what you need to fix, before I publish this book, before I submit it to the editor. So I'm giving myself about another week to finish my first draft. Then I'll give it to them. And then while they're looking it over, I'll go back through the whole thing and start trying to find all of the mistakes I know are in there.
Okay. Yep. All right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to jump over to Sherry. Sherry had a novella question. Sherry, what's your question? Don't forget to unmute. There you go.
Sure. So, Anne, thank you. That was very enlightening. Going through that whole process of rejection, I don't think I would have published had I got that far. But I am currently writing a historical fiction book based on a book in the Bible. Would that be a good topic for a novella? Because I'm not quite sure how long the book is going to end up to be, but there's also going to be a Bible study that goes with it. So does that pair together to do like a novella and a Bible study together?
So if I understand, you want to focus people on specific themes or topics from the Bible, and your novella will illustrate the theme that you're choosing to work with, right?
And then I'm doing a historical. I'm doing a historical fiction based on a book in the Bible.
I think that's becoming fairly popular right now. If you look into the Amish romance, is like a subcategory of Christian romance, and okay. Christian romance is enormously popular. Amish romance has what I've joked is almost a cult following of its own. And it's across all walks. You know, people who may or not even be Christians are going to read it because they're fascinated with the Amish. Christian fiction is going to be read by pretty specifically Christian people who want to broaden their own understanding of Christianity outside and inside themselves. Novellas, I don't know what the absolute rule is for word length. What's a short story? When does it become a novella? But I do know that I was told that mine needs to be at least 20,000 words long and probably not more than 30,000. So right now it's about at 30,000. My other books, the two other books I've written as part of the Heart of the Amish series from Barber, there are three authors, and the other two authors are better published than I. This is my first book, and they've paired me with a couple of published authors who have a following. So that's helped me. And in turn, I'm reaching out and promoting their books as much as I can, because people will read them and then they'll want to read mine too. It's probably why they do this sort of thing, is my guess. Because it's a series, but the books have nothing to do with each other. See? And those books are like 70,000 words long. So, you know, a lot longer than what I'm writing now. And I wondered, would I be able to do a novella, or am I way too wordy? But it's working out okay. So, yeah, does that help?
Yes, thank you. Word count was very helpful. And I think that was one of Faye's questions as well, is what are the word counts and how does that all work together? So thank you so much.
Don't take my word as gospel. I would do some research if I were you and find out what is out there. Also, the advice that I've seen is that you should read a whole lot in the genre that you wish to write in. So seek out other works that are similar to yours and read them. And especially if you're going for traditional publishing, read traditionally published works and see what they're buying from people. They know what they're doing. When they took my book, it was originally going to be called Ruth's Gingersnap. They said, yeah, that sounds like a cookbook. So we want to add the word surprise to the end. I said, you want to call it Ruth's Gingersnap Surprise? And they said, yeah. And I thought, huh, but I thought they know what they're doing. So I said, of course, you can call it anything you want. Just publish it and pay me. And so that's, you know, that's what I did. And the second book is about a woman introduced in the first book. Each of these women has a cat, and Ginger Snaps the cat in the first book. The second is Hope. And that book is called Mary's Calico Hope. And so it goes. So I listen to these people and I trust them and I do what they say. I put myself in their hands.
That sometimes is kind of hard to do. So yeah, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Did you have to rewrite any of your actual storyline for them?
When I was trying to work with Harlequin, they wanted me to get rid of the cats. They didn't want me to have her other friends in it. An important thing I learned was I'm good. I'm lucky. My mom was an incredibly gifted speaker of English and taught me and all of my siblings. We have good grammar. We have, you know, a good understanding of punctuation, verb tenses, all that stuff. Still, you'd be surprised when you're writing. You might make a mistake on one of those things. And it's embarrassing, but we all make mistakes. I didn't know, for example, now this has nothing to do with that, but just in writing, that in a chapter, they want to meet your hero and heroine immediately, and they need to meet each other in the first chapter, and you need to have alternating points of view, one point of view from the heroine, and then you've got the little, you know, asterisks or whatever. Mm-hmm. A little pretty thing. Now it's the hero's point of view. That is not a rule across all genres of fiction. It seems to be a rule in romance. And Harlequin, it's their rule for sure. And so I tried very hard to make that book work for them, and I just couldn't. And I really liked the friends. I really liked the kittens. And Barbara really liked the friends and the kittens. So that worked as a book for Barbara Publishing. So that's another lesson. Just because somebody says no, doesn't mean it's going to be no from everyone. If you really believe in what you've done, be stubborn and polish it as best you can, and then keep trying.
Yeah. Great advice. Great advice. Because again, it's not going to be no for everyone. That's my aha moment for the call today. There, I got my money's worth right there. It's not going to be no for everyone. So keep going. Faye wants to know, where can she find that spreadsheet for word count that you were talking about? And how does she find the writing sprints?
She needs to join the Central Ohio Fiction Writers, and nobody better to tell her about that than Sandy.
Perfect. Sandy, do you want to share for just a moment?
Sure. Thank you very much. Thank you for asking. I appreciate those little freebie PR here. I happen to be president of the Central Ohio Fiction Writers that Anne belongs to. And we have these, part of our thing, we are romance enriched. So we're waving that flag proudly. But we take a lot of other writing genre writers in there as well, because what we do more than anything else is encourage writers to keep on that path, because it is so easy to be discouraged. And one of those is how we do it is offering writing sprints. And it used to be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from like 7 to 9 with the system that Ann told you about. And we're just there on our COFW Facebook page, and someone goes, go! And then you see nothing for about 20 minutes. Then the head person types out, stop! And then everybody stops. And in that 10 minutes, people are putting in their word count. Well, I got the 300. Well, I got the 500. Because there's nothing like a little, especially invisible competition to keep you going, go, doggone it, I'm going to write faster. And then in that like hour and a half to 2 hours, you can churn out over 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. And so those are writing sprints. Right now, I think we wore everybody out, and I'll have somebody get on and say, I'll do writing sprints. The other thing we do is there's a gal from West Virginia who created a software for us, and it's called the Magic Word Spreadsheet. And what you do is you decide, it's like NaNoWriMo, you decide how many words you want to write. Like if you have to do 20,000, fine. 5,000 words in a month, fine. You go through the software and you plug it in, and they give you little like bonus points because you consistently wrote every day and do the and all those little things. And by all means, jump in there if I've missed something. And then we have this silly little stuffed emu. Emu is like an ostrich. But for some crazy reason, we started a habit that at our monthly meetings, and I put the connection there, www.cofwevents.org, we give the person who won the magic spreadsheet this stuffed emu, and sometimes it never goes any further than that. And right now, the president, me, has it because the winner hasn't been there, but you're competing against yourself for true. It's not like even if, let's say, Anne pledged to do 5,000 words and Rachel pledged to do 20,000. If she doesn't make that 20,000 and Anne makes her 5,000, well, she is the winner. So all kinds of things like that. And they're just games we play and carrots we use, whatever it takes. So that's kind of in a nutshell, unless, and if I missed something, please correct me or whatever.
Sandy, I love that. Sometimes you just have to, you know, you just have to kind of make it fun. Yeah, I get that. You'll need to unmute. There you go. Angel says, Anne, you are so inspirational. So I love that.
Thank you.
And Sandy put in the chat how to get in touch with all those. Sherry says she wrote with a friend via Zoom for 2 years on one of her books.
Impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, Faye is in Northeast Ohio. Can she still join that Central Ohio Fiction Writer, Sandy?
Yes, because we're online and a lot of our, some of our, we have about 60 members, and there's a lot of them we never see in person because they come in through hybrid. And by the way, I'm also posting this. I think she said, Faye, that you were from Youngstown, or you mentioned it in your typing. I am a Youngstown born and raised gal. So I know what I'm talking about.
And I want to say thanks to Linda. She's kind of keeping us straight on the back end there, because sometimes your comments go just to the panelists and Linda's sharing those with everyone. So thank you for that, Linda.
Thank you.
Now, Anne, you told us a little bit about your book and a little bit about what it's about and how you wrote it and your story so far. But did you have a particular audience in mind when you were writing your first book? Who was the book for?
No. When I wrote my first book, it was for me. And of course, that first book was the middle reader. So I had to make it a book that middle school kids would read. But okay. But I didn't do a lot of research about an audience I was interested in writing for, Sherry is. She's interested in writing for people who are going to want to read biblical historical fiction. I just thought, I'm going to write what I want, and then we'll see where it goes. The Amish romance, it's interesting, is that it's predominantly read by evangelical Christian women. That's fine. You know, that's fine. I've had a number of people who've read mine because they're friends of mine or in my writing group or whatever. And they've said, well, this is the first Amish romance I've ever read. But, and I loved it, you know, and And now they can read some other Amish romance and maybe they'll love it. And I've read some that I've liked and some that I didn't, just like any other genre that you might write in. It's a deep, wide pool out there, and there's going to be stuff you like and stuff you don't. And another important thing to know is that there are going to be people who like what you write, and there are going to be people who don't like what you write. I've got almost 100 reviews on Goodreads, and my daughter said, "Don't read your reviews, Mom. You'll be sad." Mostly they've been good, but there have been a couple that I'm like, "What?" One guy took points off because my character had a wristwatch and he doesn't believe Amish people wear wristwatches. Well, some do, but here's another important piece of advice that I learned in the newspaper business. Never, ever, ever, ever argue with anybody who makes a comment on something that you've put out in public. You've published it in public, be it on Facebook or whatever, and they can say what they want. If you get into a contest with them about who's right and who's wrong, you can destroy your entire career, because you'll make people angry, and angry people will badmouth you and they will not read your books. So just scroll on by, just like you're advised to do on Facebook when you see something that annoys you. Yeah, that's important.
Yes. And also, even when you're marketing out there on social media and you get some haters, you've got to let that roll off. Absolutely.
Yep. It's really absolutely important.
Yeah. Very important. We are at the top of the hour. This has been an amazing conversation. Vicki had to jump off. She says, "Thank you, everyone. Wonderful stories, lots of wisdom, lots of support and connections. That's what we're all about." So we invite you to come back every month and listen to our topics and our presenters. And tell us, and we're going to put it in the chat, but tell us, where can our listeners get in touch with you? And where are you headed next? What are your plans?
Okay, thank you. First, and thank you so much for having me on. This has been fun. I love this kind of thing. Next, I'm hoping for a third contract from Barber for a third book in the Heart of the Amish. Waiting on that. But I've also decided I want to write some Amish cozy mysteries. There are several authors I love. Samantha Price, Vanetta Chapman, some others have, Patricia Johns, have some really fun stuff out there. Sweet or cozy means there's no spice. For those of you who don't know what that means, they've joked it's bonnet rippers. Nothing gets ripped off of anybody, okay? And it's very, very sweet and innocent stuff. I enjoy it, you know? I like everything, but I'm enjoying this. So I'm going to try that. You can find my stuff now wherever books are sold, and online everywhere. And there are better deals in some places than other places. That's something else I learned. Your book doesn't cost the same everywhere you go. At Barber.com, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Walmart, whatever. It may be $7.99 one place and $16 somewhere else. So shop around. And you can get it on Kindle.
Do we find you under Anne Blackburn?
Yes, Blackburne. That is my actual middle name. I figured nobody would be able to remember or spell Klovachok, so I went with Blackburn instead.
Yep. I get it. All right. Anne Blackburn. You heard it here. Make a note. Find her wherever books are sold.
And you can reach me on my Facebook page, Anne Blackburn. Okay. And I will answer you. So thank you. And thank you.
Yes, I appreciate you being with us so much. Any other aha moments from anyone in the audience? Again, my aha was not everyone is going to say no. So keep on keeping on. Anyone else? Faye, unmute and tell us your aha moment.
Aha moment was when I actually first published my book, because I wasn't expecting it to happen. I never thought it was going to happen. It was just a dream for me out in the blue. But I always, and even though I published it last year, it's still like a little dream that kind of just became reality. But I always end with self-publishing. Don't take it for granted.
Yes, and be proud. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Congratulations, Faye. Congratulations. That's huge.
Yeah. And yeah. Sherry, you have your hand up.
I had no idea that the Amish historical fiction or fiction stuff and Bible-based historical fiction stuff would be in the same category. I went, what?
It's just you didn't know that was a thing. Christian fiction, and it's an enormous market. Very, yeah. very popular. And it runs the gamut. It runs the gamut from what you're talking about, a Bible-based story, through all kinds of stuff. And there are different religions that have their own specialty stuff. There's Catholic presses that publish Catholic fiction. It's endless. Whatever you're interested in, go find it. And you know what? If it doesn't exist yet, propose it, because you might find a new niche market.
Anyone else have any comments before we go?
Okay, can I stick my nose in?
Absolutely.
And speak on behalf of Central Ohio fiction writers. We have this other little thing we do. And one is we get a pen and engrave it with the writer's pen name and present it to him, her, or them if they have published their first book. And Anne, because Anne is way in Cambridge, she doesn't physically get up, but Anne, yeah. I'm going to be mailing you your pen she is her first sale. And I'm not going to open it up because I took a lot of time to make the bow, but it is a wooden carved pen with first sale and Blackburn and a wooden carved little pencil case for you to keep on your desk.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's
Thank
lovely.
You for giving me this Thank opportunity. You. Woohoo!
And I do. I only get over to the meetings about twice a year. And I am hoping to make one this spring, but it's such a help to be in a writer's group. It's lovely the support you get and give to people. So thanks so much. That's lovely.
You're welcome. Continued good luck.
Yes, thanks. And congrats, Anne. And thank you for that, Sandy. And so you've heard Sandy talk about their little writers group. I'm in the Cincinnati Fiction Writers Group. I tap in virtually on Zoom, and they actually do critique calls where you can submit your work and the group as a whole will critique your writing. And I've learned so much just listening to them doing their critiques. So get involved in writers groups. If you want to be a writer, be a writer, submerge yourself with writers, be in that community, because you will learn so much just from what's going on around you. So get involved. Then of course, in August, don't forget Sandy's Writers Workshop. And that is
in Yellow Springs. Yeah.
Worth going to. So put that on your calendar as well.
Could I say something for Sherry?
Go ahead.
I just found out about the existence of the Christian Fiction Writers of America. I joined so I could enter competitions with my new book. And they have an Ohio Valley branch that you might be interested in looking into, Sherry. Okay.
I'm in Pennsylvania, so hopefully there's a branch here.
Yeah, just check it out. Well, that's the national thing, the Christian Fiction Writers of America. And then you join and then they hook you up with whomever. So they could be a good resource for you with what you want to do. Yeah.
Thank you yes, so ma'am. Much.
Yeah. Good luck.
And it's so different from what I've already done.
Yes, it is totally different writing for Sherry. Yes. And I admire you, Sherry, for branching out like that as well.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, put it on your calendars. We're back again on February 12 at 12 noon Eastern Time. So February 12 at 12 noon Eastern Time. The same Zoom that you were on today, once you register, you do not need to continually register every month because it's the same link every single month. And so feel free to join us. So add that to your calendar and we'll see you here again on February 12th.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Happy. All right, everybody, have Thank a great you. Week, Thank and we you, will Sandy. See you soon.
You too. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.